room, you can't move, you can't speak. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, you're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this this like shadowy demon looking figure in the front seat of the car.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut, so then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend and we saw Eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears, it had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer.
Okay, we're going.
Got it.
Okay, guys, I am super excited to welcome our next guest to Let's Get Freaky. We've got Jeff Foran with us tonight. How are you, sir?
I am doing well, doing well. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm stoked to be here and stoked to get weird.
Yes, man. I'm excited to have you on, man. I'm a massive fan of your show. I've been listening for years. And this feels quite surreal talking to you, man. I'm not going to lie. I feel like I know you.
Oh, geez. Well, it feels surreal to me to think that my show has been out for years now. Yeah. Myself. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been a good time. It's been a good time.
So I'm sure the people listening to Let's Get Freaky know you, know your show. But for anyone that might not, can you explain a little bit about it and tell us what got you into doing these freaky subjects?
Yeah, absolutely. So Strangeology kind of started as a passion project, just kind of on social media. At the beginning of the pandemic in 2020, I recently found myself out of work and was just kind of looking for something to do to pass the time. And I had grown up being interested in all manner of paranormal subjects, aliens, cryptids, that kind of thing. Always found myself drawn to the Bigfoot and UFO books from the 50s, 60s, and 70s that happened to be in the school libraries, like growing up. And so I was just bored one day and was like, I'm just going to start this thing, and came up with the name and just started kind of looking into different subjects like about cryptids and UFO cases and posting about it on Instagram. And from there, I started meeting people within this greater community that are part of this whole 4TN realm, and got asked to be on a couple podcasts with some people I became friends with, like Jeremiah from Bigfoot Society. And later on in 2020, I really found myself enjoying doing deep dives into different subjects and talking to people about all this kind of stuff, researchers and authors and other people who are just enthusiastic about the subject matter. And so I decided to launch the Strangeology podcast in December of 2020. So just kind of celebrated 3 years of the podcast. We're in the fourth year now. So it's been a wild ride so far. I've gotten to meet some people I never thought I'd get to meet, and just reach this audience out there. It was just kind of fascinating to me that from the get-go, people just kind of piled on to the social media and were just following me and engaging with the content and finding out that there's other people out there who have been interested in this kind of stuff, people who have seen or experienced things, and that, you know, I wasn't alone. Because growing up, having my own experiences I found myself getting ridiculed by people that were close to me otherwise. And so it's been this kind of a really interesting journey of finding myself and learning more about what else is going on out there in the world and all these different branches that you can take it. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. Your podcast is awesome. It's definitely one of my favorites. I love it, man. But I
Thank
find with
you.
podcasting, you put out your vibe, you find your tribe. I didn't make that saying up, but that's how I feel it is. You find your people, and it's such a great community in the podcast world. It really is. And you can meet your heroes and stuff like that. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's definitely it's pretty wild.
Yeah, man.
And I remember after I launched the podcast in 2021, I had people asking me, are you ever going to go to any events and stuff? Because there's in the States, there's a lot of different cryptid events that happen. A lot of them in the Midwest and in the South, but also like Mid-Atlantic area. There's even some stuff in New England where I'm based, which is a lot easier to get to.
Yeah.
I went to this event that's hosted by the Moth Boys podcast. They've been putting on an event since 2021 called Cryptid Bash. They've had it hosted it in a few different locations in West Virginia. This coming year, they're doing it in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Not sure if I'm making it out there this year, but I remember going to the very first one and like seeing the crew from Small Town Monsters. If you're not familiar, they're a film
Yes.
production company that do all these documentaries on cryptids and paranormal stuff, and they have a series on UFOs. They're got some really great stuff out there that you should definitely check out. And Seth Breedlove, who is the mastermind behind Small Town Monsters, I'm sitting there vending a couple t-shirts at my small little table, and he comes up and he's like, oh, hey Jeff, how are you doing? I'm Seth. Like, your stuff is great, man. Like, can I get a shirt? And I was like, what is going
Yeah, that's
on?
awesome, man.
It's just it's a very cool thing to be a part of, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And you're based in New England as well, which is where I want to move to. I'm not just saying that. It's something that we're talking about. It's something I'd like to do in the future. Beautiful part of the world, man.
Absolutely. I've lived here my whole life. The winters can be long, but the fall is a great time of year. Spring is you call it mud season because all of the dirt roads get super rutty and hard to drive on. Summers are usually fairly mild. There's only a couple like days that get into like the 90s Fahrenheit. So it's a pretty good place to live, at least where I'm based. So I
Yeah,
enjoy it.
man. Yeah.
Recommend
I want to
it.
get out there soon, that's for sure. So you said when you was a kid, you had paranormal experiences and you got ridiculed for it. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. As far as like a paranormal subject matter, the I'm not sure if it's something where certain families are maybe more sensitive to that kind of thing. I know that some siblings, my mother, have talked about something similar before, but the home I grew up in, I had a lot of interesting experiences in. One of the earliest ones that I can remember, aside from sometimes the occasional feeling of if you were alone in the house, that something was kind of watching you from the shadows or just like around a corner, and you'd kind of get like the hair raising on your neck type of feeling. But one of the earliest memories that I have of something that was really kind of strange that I couldn't explain was when I was about 7 or 8 years old. I was watching cartoons in the living room at the house I grew up in. And this was a house that was built in the 1970s. It was up on the end of a dirt road on a hill, surrounded by like 5 acres of forest. There were houses nearby, but it wasn't like super duper remote or anything like that. But I was watching cartoons and it was getting late. It's probably about 8 o'clock at night. And my mom was in the kitchen and I could hear her say like, Jeff, you need to brush your teeth, get ready for bed and all that. And I was like, okay. So I'm watching the TV and it's one of the old cathode ray CRT TVs that weigh 150 pounds. And yeah, we're all spoiled with these flat screens today, but
yeah.
And it's like, I don't remember the exact cartoon, but it was like some kind of like Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny, Tom and Jerry type of cartoon that I was watching, maybe Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner. And I turn off the TV, and you know how there used to be an afterglow with CRT TVs. And I look at the TV and I see the face of this old man looking back at me. And he was wearing glasses, had male pattern baldness, and it was almost like a static, like it wasn't really like an animated face. It was just kind of looking right at me. And the show that I was watching hadn't gone to commercial break or anything like that. It was just like this afterglow image of an elderly looking man. And I was like, that's really kind of weird. I'm not going to acknowledge it and just walk out of the room. And then sometime later, can't remember if it was months or years, but I was looking through an old family photo album and came across pictures of my dad's dad, my grandfather, and the image that I saw in the TV looked almost identical to my grandfather, who passed away 3 months after I was born. He had stomach cancer, and I didn't get to meet him as a baby. You know, time was too short, things were too crazy. And so, you know, I'm not sure if that's what it was, but it was definitely a really interesting experience. In my mind, I wonder if, like, you know, maybe, yeah, just kind of popped in through the technology just to see what was going on with his youngest grandson, maybe. Who knows?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a cool experience, man.
Yeah, definitely interesting. But yeah, in the moment, I was just like, it freaked me out as a kid.
Yeah, no,
you know, because I didn't really understand what was going on. It seemed like it was not something that should have been on the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
And yeah, and there were other experiences in that house growing up. There was a time where I assume you and your audience are familiar with Ouija boards.
Oh yes, yeah.
Spirit boards and stuff like that. So my oldest sister used to love to play with Ouija boards. She had one. She'd mess around with it from time to time. Heard some experiences that she had after she had moved out on her own. I don't know if she messed around with them since, where some weird stuff happened. But there was this one time where my sister and my brother were messing around in the downstairs of the house one day, and the entity that they were apparently channeling through this thing, this it claimed it was my grandfather, the same one that I just mentioned.
Interesting.
But from what I understand, it's like, you know, when you open a portal like that, you don't know who or what's coming through. So it could have been, you know, something that was just lying, you know.
Yeah.
Not entirely sure. And I was a little kid, I was around the same age, right? And I was just kind of watching from the sidelines, and that particular experience kind of made me not really ever want to mess with Ouija boards, because later on that evening around dinner time, we started getting all these phone calls, And my parents were always just like, when we're eating dinner, like, ignore the phone, don't answer the phone. Or like, they made sure to like let my siblings know not to have their friends call. That was just kind of like the house rules. And the phone just started like ringing off the hook. And I remember my sister answered it and she said, oh, there's like nobody there. I think it's like a prank caller. And I think my brother tried answering the phone and it was just like nobody was on the other end. And so I go and I was like, oh, I'm going to answer the phone. And I run over to the kitchen counter to pick up the phone. And I'm like, hello. And I hear this voice on the other end and it sounds ghostly and distant. And I was just like really strange. And they started asking for somebody in the house that wasn't there. I believe it was, they were asking for somebody named Cal, and there's nobody in my family with that name. So I was just like, oh, this is weird. And I just kind of hung up the phone. And that just kind of tying that to the earlier experience of the day of watching the Ouija yeah. board in action and not understanding the mechanics of it all. You know, I know there's explanations as to why the planchette moves. It's, you know, some kind of subconscious thing in your head, but who knows exactly.
Yeah, I don't play with them, man.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember telling one of my buddies who's you know, a super rational thinking, scientific minded person. He grew up on my road with me. And he was like, Jeff, man, I don't know. These Ouija boards are just games. And he bought one just to prove me wrong. And like, you're not supposed to like leave the planchette out on the board. And he like had it in his room. And this was when we were like teenagers. And he like left the planchette on the board and had it active and like this, you know, open portal, and like left it in his closet. And anytime yeah. like we'd be hanging out and I'd crash at his place, I was like so sketched out to stay over. Nothing ever happened with that, but maybe there, you know, there's some kind of intention yeah. that we can set with that, where I'm not sure. But
I don't like Ouija boards, man. I've heard enough freaky stories to not want to go near them things.
Oh yeah, for sure. And then probably, let's see, there's a couple more experiences in that house that happened. So there was one instance where, we had this portrait over the fireplace in our living room. Had like this mantle, and it was a portrait of a nature scene with like mallard ducks flying over it. Real nice piece. So one night, apparently something happened with the portrait. I remember waking up in the morning and seeing the portrait face down on the living room carpet, which was interesting because I think everyone had gone to bed before I had gone to bed at the time. And I was a teenager. I was in high school. And it was there the night before. And now it was on the floor. And the interesting thing was that the nail holding it up was still at the 45 degree angle. It hadn't busted through the drywall. None of the all the portraits and knickknacks that my mom had on the fireplace mantle were disturbed. So yeah. it seemed to me that something had like lifted the portrait up, put it down, laid it down on the rug, and like the glass on the frame wasn't broken or anything. And it was, you know, a good 5 foot drop from
yeah.
where, well, actually maybe even 6 feet really. So that was a weird occurrence that happened.
Yeah, man.
There was another interesting thing that I was told. My mother's best friend had passed away while I was in high school. I think she was only like 50 or something like that. And she had a catastrophic event. I think she had a stroke or something when she was driving. And she had been through like a lifetime of battling. I believe it was like non-Hodgkin's lymphoma or something like that. And so she passed away, and sometime later, my mom had a portrait of her in our kitchen area in the house, and I believe it was like a pot of flowers that my mom got, and her friend hated those kinds of flowers, and she put them like right near the portrait. And the next morning, the portrait was like face down, and my mom was like, "Well, I guess she didn't like those and didn't want to look at them like that." Yeah, so
man.
a little bit more of a tongue-in-cheek story, but probably the most interesting thing and harrowing tale didn't happen to me, thankfully, but my brother and my father both told me there were several instances in that house in the middle of the night where they would wake up and the bed would be shaking in their bedrooms. And it was just kind of this weird thing. My dad probably had the better way of describing it, I suppose. He remembered on several occasions where he'd wake up in the middle of the night and the bedroom would be freezing cold, and like during the summer. And summers here in New England can get like, kind of chilly sometimes, but not freezing cold. So cold that you can see your breath when you breathe. And the bed was just like shaking. And there was one instance where he heard a voice call out his name, just like, "Hey." And so, so my dad's theory, well, eventually he confronted whatever this entity was and basically told it that it doesn't have permission to mess with him. Like, he has work in the morning. He can't like lose his sleep. He doesn't want to play. He's done with this. And after that, and my dad's a religious man too. I'm not sure if he invoked anything, but after that, apparently the activity stopped. But his theory
Interesting.
was that the man who built the house back in the 1970s had a son who graduated high school. I'm not sure when in the 70s it was, if it was like the house was built in 1973, I believe. I'm not sure if it was shortly after that or if it was the late 70s. My family moved into the house in 1985 when I was like a year old. And so the story was that the son of the man who built the house, he had graduated high school and he tragically got in a motorcycle accident like very shortly after graduation day and he died. And so my dad's theory was that the entity, the spirit that was messing around, was the name of this kid. And he knew the name and he addressed this entity by that name, and that's after it
Oh, wow.
stopped. So he thought that perhaps, the kid was somehow energetically tied to the house, and that's where it went to, maybe finish some business or just kind of linger and not move on. But that's
Yeah, man. Did all the activity stop once that happened? Once your dad.
As far as I know, as far as I know, and again, I never experienced the bed shaking, but the TV, the feeling of being watched, seeing that portrait down on the living room floor one morning with nothing disturbed, it's just some weird stuff. And there was another instance that doesn't necessarily involve ghosts, but ghost lights. Paranormal for sure, but there was we had a pool, an above ground pool in the backyard in the mid 90s, like a lot of people in America had at the time. And I remember going out swimming in the early evening once, and my mom and her best friend, the one from the portrait that went down, were hanging out on the pool deck, making sure I wasn't going to drown because I was like maybe 8 or 9, 10, something like that. And we had bats that would come out. I think they lived up in the hill in a cave somewhere. And so they'd come out and they would come to like get water, or there's bugs flying around, so they'd be like dive bombing the water, and I was just kind of ducking under the water anytime you could hear them, their like their squeaks and stuff, so you'd try to get out of the way so they didn't hit you. And I remember going down, and I surfaced, and I was rubbing the water out of my eyes. And I remember looking towards the kind of like the north northeast end of the property. The pool backed up to the woods that was behind our house, and it was just like straight woods, probably for like a mile. And I remember just kind of looking back there for some reason, and I saw this large beach ball shaped orb that was kind of like this warm orange glow, but it wasn't really projecting light so much on the trees. It was in the forest, and it was a pretty dense forest, a lot of younger growth, thin trees, but also some older growth, like big trees too. And this light just kind of appeared in my field of view, and it zipped by towards kind of like a southwesterly direction, somehow avoiding trees. And it happened like in the blink of an eye. If I didn't
Wow.
come up in that particular instance, I wouldn't have seen it. And I didn't really think anything of it. I was just like, whoa, that was really weird. What was that? Was I like, did I stand or water too long? Am I like hallucinating or like seeing stars? I don't know. And so I just kind of like went on swimming for another like 5 minutes. And my mom and her friend didn't mention anything. I mean, they were looking at each other, talking, chit-chatting and stuff. And so I go under again, and then I surface again after the bats are gone. And this time I'm looking towards the southwesterly direction, which is back towards the house that I grew up in. And the light comes back from the other direction and heads right back to where the origin from where it first came. And it was again just like an instant, this orange light the size of like a large beach ball, just kind of in and out, and that was it.
Wow,
And
man.
you hear stories of people seeing ghost lights, like the Marfa lights in Texas. And there's, I believe it's in, where's it, Bali or Thailand or something. There's some famous ghost light type phenomena that happens there as well.
Yeah,
So,
man.
not entirely sure. We had like kind of a swampy area in the back. Not saying it was like swamp gas or some kind of bioluminescence something. I gotta think that there's some kind of intelligence for whatever this thing was. And it wasn't ball lightning. It was a clear night. So,
Yeah,
and
it's
ball lightning's
interesting, man.
usually blue. So yeah, it
Yeah.
was and it's not, it didn't come and like
And you
interact
say
with me or anything.
it
It
was
just
like dodging the trees and stuff like that.
From what I could tell, it was so quick it was hard to tell the details, but it
Yeah.
had to have been, if not maybe phasing through them. I'm not sure.
Interesting, man.
One of the weirdest things I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
And then one final thing from where I grew up was at least the house area. There was a time where one of my good friends growing up, we used to go wander around in the woods. Sometimes we would venture onto neighbors' properties. In this one particular instance, my buddy and I went over to a next door neighbor's property because they had this part of their property was had this like really steep incline before it went up to the house, and it was all forested. So they didn't really either know or didn't really care that we were back there, but we used to like to go up and kind of grab all the small trees and just kind of like climb up, as little kids like to do. And we got up to like the precipice of this section, And we were just kind of walking along, chit-chatting, and we look at this tree that's right in front of us, and we notice that there's something in it. And we look up and we see this this creature that's clinging to the tree like this, with its head out, just kind of looking. And it's had these really, really big eyes, and it had fur, and it had really kind of like primate like hands. And we were like, what the hell is this thing? And okay, so New England doesn't have anything like that. We have raccoons, we have squirrels, we have possums. Wasn't any of those. So we freaked out and we ran and decided later on, we're like, okay, we're going to go back there. We're going to figure out what this thing is. And whatever it was gone by the time we got back. So we weren't imagining it. It was, yeah, it was some kind of animal. This is like the only like cryptid experience I've really ever had.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
And years and years later, when I was in college, I started listening to bands like At the Drive-In, and then the Mars Volta, subsequent band from At the Drive-In. And I picked up their first EP, which was called the Tremulant EP. And they had the like an artistic interpretation outline of this simian, which I believe is from Southeast Asia or Indonesia, called a tarsier. And I remember looking at that thing and I was like, wait a second. So I Googled it, went on Wikipedia or something, and I looked up what this thing was, and it almost looked like the thing that I saw in that tree with my friend growing up all those years ago. And I was like, what the heck? But the tarsiers are, they're only like that big. This thing was like at least this big.
Sorry, what is a tarsier? I've not heard of that.
They're like a nocturnal like prosimian. I think they're related to like lemurs, like that kind of an animal.
They're
really small. They have huge eyes for seeing at night. And they have like the fleshy hands with the opposable thumb. I think they really kind of just like eat bugs and stuff like that. But I my theory was that like maybe it was someone's exotic pet that escaped or something like that, but it was just such a weird thing. And like, I don't think anyone in the neighborhood or the town ever reported anything like if someone was missing a pet. And also they don't grow that big. So I'm not sure what it was. But
either that or you saw possibly a baby Sasquatch.
Hey, that's a theory.
I'd like to think it's that.
Well, Vermont does have a Bigfoot Sasquatch sighting, so it's entirely possible.
Did the creature that you saw, did it have a tail?
You know, I don't recall if it had a tail or not. It may have. If it did, it was probably kind of curled under its bottom. But that detail isn't exactly clear. You know, we looked at this thing for maybe 3 seconds and we were like, oh, it's like some freaky monster thing. And we ran. And then by the time we built up the courage to go back and investigate, we it was gone. So
that's interesting, man.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing to see.
Yeah. So yeah.
Possibly a baby Bigfoot. We'll go with that one.
Right. Yeah, that's not something I ever thought of, but who knows? Maybe.
Interesting. I can relate to what you're saying because I grew up in a haunted house when I was a kid, and I saw a ghost when I was a kid. I know that feeling when you feel like you're being watched, and it's, you know, a horrible feeling. I know that, and that was something that we had a lot in that house that I grew up in. So I can totally relate to you living in it, and it does change. I think that plays a part in why we love the paranormal so much, because we sort of had those experiences when we were young.
Absolutely. It's when you experience stuff like that, you can be a skeptic all you want your whole life because you've never directly experienced it. A lot of people are like, I'll believe it if I see it. But, you know, when you're in it and something strange happens that there's no scientific explanation or measurement for. You kind of you're the paradigm of your life is altered forever.
Yeah, man.
And I'm reminded too of my friend at the time that was there with me when we saw this weird creature. His family had bought an old farmhouse back, I think when we were in like the fifth grade, summer before the fifth grade, and it came with like a big barn, and we used to like to go and just mess around in there. Like we'd bring super soakers in there and water balloons and whatever, and just kind of mess around. They had like a they put a trampoline on the second story where hay used to be stored for the farm that used to exist.
Oh man, that sounds fun.
So it was a fun place to play, man. But like there was one time where I can't remember. We were just like running around and being goofballs, and we all of a sudden heard this disembodied voice in the barn say, "Get out." Clear as day, like no joke. Like something told us, like in plain English, clear as day, "Get out." And we were just like, "What is this? Like, what's going on?" And I remember looking up at the ceiling, and there was like kind of a space between two like pieces of wood from like the upstairs floorboard. And I remember looking up like and seeing what I thought was like an eyeball staring at us. And I was just like, "Nope, let's get the hell out of here."
Oh
It
man.
was weird. It was weird. And we at one point, I can't remember if it was that year or the year after, but we during my friend's like birthday party that year, we decided to do a ghost hunt. And he had just gotten all these walkie-talkies for his birthday, and we were going to use them to communicate between like the ground level and the second floor. And the walkie-talkies had brand new batteries in them, and they didn't work in the barn. They worked outside of the barn, didn't work inside the
Interesting.
barn. It was really weird. And there was one point where a few of us were all kind of getting excited, and we were like running upstairs, and my friend was like leading the way, and something some force like pushed him back, and he like fell back into me on the stairs. Like something didn't want him to go up, and it was just really weird. And that a couple years later, I remember at another like sleepover birthday party, we used to all get our sleeping bags in their living room, and the windows to the living room, at least one of the sides, there were windows on all sides of this living room, but there was one side that you could see the barn. And sleepover parties, when you're a preteen, you're always up till, crack of dawn and shit. So I remember people were pa starting to fall asleep. It was probably like 2:30 or something like that in the morning. And I remember getting up because I think I had to use the bathroom. And I got up, and I remember looking out towards the barn, and his parents were asleep. They did have a rental house on the property, but the guy that rented it like never came out or bothered anyone, and he'd had would have had no business being there. But I remember looking out towards this barn and seeing what looked like a light kind of just in the barn. You could see it through the windows of the barn on the first floor. Couldn't tell if it was like a lantern or just like an orb of light just kind of like bobbing around. And it's just like, whoa, that's something. I'm gonna go back to bed. So
Man, that's freaky stuff, man.
lots of experiences. There was another one where gosh, this was probably when was this would have been maybe 15, 16 years ago. It's like 2008, 2009. I was spending the night at an ex's house, and the it was her mother's house, and she had mentioned stories to me of There may have been like a kind of an Indian burial ground somewhere on the property. There was some like weird stuff where they would hear disembodied voices outside sometimes. But I remember waking up in the middle of the night and nobody in the house was awake. And I could hear this like really distant old-timey music playing. And I kept trying to like listen and kind of place it in the house. I was like, is somebody up playing old-timey music in the house? But it was just like so distant and like you're tuning into an old radio type of thing.
Oh
And it
man.
was I started getting freaked out, so I just kind of like tried to go back to sleep. But it definitely took a while because I could just keep hear I kept hearing this music and I was
Yeah.
awake. I wasn't like in this lucid dreaming state. Like I remember like sitting up and
Yeah.
like just trying to, I was like,
Interesting.
okay, there's something going on here.
Was it one of those where you're like, am I definitely hearing this? Was it one of those moments where you're like, am I?
Oh, I was questioning it. Yeah, like
Yeah.
I thought I was dreaming at first, but like I tested it to see make sure I was awake, and I was like
Yeah.
certainly awake, and it was just like this
Man.
really distant music, and I was just like, this is weird. Didn't really ever experience anything else there, but
Yeah.
yeah,
That's for there's something
weird
about
stuff.
old-timey music during the night that shouldn't be go that is one of the freakiest things you could experience, man.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Wow. I've had kids' toys go off during the night, like the kids' toys. 3 o'clock in the morning, just start singing for no reason, and that's scary enough, man.
Oh yeah.
Why would they do that?
I always make sure to turn my kids, or I try to make sure to turn my kids like their
Yeah.
noise making toys off at night.
Man.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, there
you've had
was.
quite a few experiences, man.
Oh yeah. Yeah, even less so in adulthood, but every once in a while things pop up, but I think the last thing that really ever happened was when I moved into this house that I live in now with my family, and we were working on doing a mold remediation in the finished portion of our basement. We had to tear out the whole thing because there was previous water damage. My partner's super sensitive to mold, so we had space capsuled that side of the finished basement with like 6 mil plastic and making sure that nothing that we tore out, anything could have gotten kicked up and put into like the heating system and go throughout the house. That's kind of like the standard thing that you do when you're doing a remediation like that. And we were working late one night. And we had just sealed off. It's kind of like you know in the first X-Files movie when they have like the aliens sealed off in that like cave. It's kind of like
Yeah, yeah.
that. And so like the other half was the laundry room of the basement, with like a workbench and stuff like that. And we were just kind of finishing up sealing off this plastic so that we could tear things out safely. And it must have been close to 11:30 midnight. You know, we had work in the morning the next day. Our first son, who was like 6 months old at the time, was like upstairs sleeping in a pack and play. And all of a sudden we hear this thing, this metallic sound drop on the other side of the basement, which we couldn't get to because it was all sealed off. And we weren't making like tons of vibrations or anything, and it's a concrete floor, so I'm not sure what it was exactly, but we later found out that a previous owner of this home passed away here, and you know, we wonder perhaps if there was, you know, some connection to that. My partner you know, did some clearing work and had some kind of feelings of you know, there may have been like a little boy who grew up in the house that was still, you know, attached. to the house in some way. When we were remodeling my son's room, we had to take away the old baseboard to get this old wallpaper off. Pain in the butt project. I painted that room like 3 times and we were like, we got to get rid of this wallpaper. The paint's not sticking. And I pulled away the old baseboard and we found this 1950s baseball card that had gotten stuck back there. And you hear things about sometimes, you know, entities or spirits can sometimes attach themselves to objects. So we got rid of that. So it wasn't worth anything. We looked it
up. Yeah, I was going to say, you got to make sure first.
Yeah, I think it was going for like $3 on eBay, but so we got rid of it. And we haven't had anything that really happened since, but
That metallic sound, that gets sort of linked with portals opening and, you know, it gets, I've heard that a lot. People talk about that sound that you hear, and is that something opening?
Yeah. And after we were done with like tearing out all the moldy stuff and fixing that part of the basement, we took down the plastic sheeting and we went over to the laundry room area and we couldn't find anything that looked like it would have fallen. We hadn't moved our tools in there at all or anything. So it was all just empty. Like we had barely just moved in. So couldn't explain it.
Yeah, man. Interesting. Other than the face that you saw in the telly, have you seen any entities, shadow figures, anything like that?
I have not seen any actual shadow figures or physical manifestations of anything. That may be a permissions thing, or maybe I just have a deal where I don't really want to see anything. I have had a couple of instances of my life, and not in a long time, of like sleep paralysis, but never actually, mostly in college. And it was when I was living in a dorm with a couple of guys. I lived in a triple. That was an interesting experience, but living with two other dudes.
Yeah.
I just remember laying down to like take a nap after class one day and being fully aware of what was going on in the room. One of my roommates was playing Dynasty Warriors on PlayStation, and my other roommate was watching sports and eating a can of tuna fish in his box.
Good times, man. Good times.
And I just remember not being able to move, but I knew what was going on in the room. And it was one of those kind of paralysis things where your teeth start feeling funny and weird, and it felt like they were being pushed into my head. And that was just kind of like enough to get me to like jerk myself out of it. Wow. You know, actually, that just sparked a memory. I may have seen entities at one point. There was one time where I was taking a nap, and maybe it was a dream, but I was still conscious. I was laying down on the bed at the previous house I lived in with my partner, and I remember I was on my back and kind of looking up and had my eyes closed, and it seemed like the silhouettes of a humanoid. I could see like a head, shoulders of like, I want to say like 3 to 5 figures that came down and were just kind of like there. And then I was like, I don't want to see you. And I woke up.
Was that in a paralysis state?
You know, I think it was like a semi-paralysis state, because I was like, it took me a good couple moments to kind of jerk myself out of it. And then I was like, yeah, no, I'm not dealing with that right now.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not sure if that was just kind of like a waking dream, but that's probably the closest thing I could say to whether or not I've potentially experienced a kind of like shadowy entity that's nebulous.
Yeah. How often did you have sleep paralysis?
Geez, you know, it's only happened a few times in my life, maybe like a half a dozen. It's not something that's ever really happened often. So I don't really know if it's just it happens if I take a nap during the day when I'm extra tired. I don't really nap during the day anymore. I'm usually up for a good 18, 19 hours a day.
Yeah, man.
So don't sleep much these
The
days.
podcast life is difficult. It's great, but it's difficult.
The podcast life, the dad life, the
Yeah,
content creator life.
man. Yeah, for sure.
It's a lot. It's a lot. I do have a UFO story if you want to hear.
Yeah, let's go, man.
So this one took place back in 1997. There were a couple of instances before then where I thought I may have seen something like a silvery looking object high up in the sky that disappeared behind a cloud and didn't come out the other side, like a plane normally would, didn't have a contrail or anything like that. Not that all high flying altitude planes do, but definitely raised my eyebrow at that. I was riding my bike one day and noticed it, and it's like, huh, that's curious. And you know, I mentioned before I grew up, you know, reading books on UFOs and Bigfoot and watching shows like Sightings and stuff like that, any kind of TV special that came out in the 90s. And so my brother, he's like 5, 6 years older than me. I was it's 1997. I would have been what, 13 at the time. And he had taken me out to go see the re-release of The Empire Strikes Back at the movie theater in town, which was like 30, 40 minutes away because we lived in a rural town, and had a good time. And we were driving back home. It was probably somewhere between 9 and 9:30 at night. And he at the time he had an old Volvo 240 sedan from the 1980s. It was blue. And I had decided to sit in the back seat because I kind of wanted to like lay down. I was tired. And we were coming up on this part of the way home. There was like this long straightaway. At the beginning of the straightaway, there's like a golf course off to the right as you're headed towards my town that I grew up in. And eventually the road, it's like maybe like 3/4 of a mile maybe before it hits a tree line, and the road like dips down towards a river valley below where there's like a couple of farms and then a main road that takes you to the highway. And I remember I was sitting up. I didn't lay down, but I was on the driver's side in the rear. And I should also note that the there was a airport nearby, but this wasn't on the flight path for like planes taking off and landing. It was a couple miles away from that. So I'm looking out the window and I see this set of three lights in a triangular formation that are right where the tree line is, like half a mile, 3/4 mile away from where we were when I first noticed it. And I was like, oh man, that plane is flying really low. And those are like huge lights. What's going on? And I'm like trying to, you know, I'm just like looking at this thing and it's going by pretty fast because like we're bombing towards this thing at like 35, 40 miles an hour. And I'm like, what is that thing? And I kind of first think that like maybe my brother has some kind of like weird light in the back. Maybe it's reflecting off the window on the door. And I'm like, so I roll down the window, it's old school, and the lights, sure enough, are still there. And it was a clear night, I could see the tops of the tree line and these three lights. And I'm like, those lights aren't moving. If this was a plane, that would have certainly at least passed by us at that point. If it was landing, it still would have been going a couple hundred miles an hour. And I was just like, this is really weird. So I tried flagging my brother. I was like, hey, do you see those lights? And he was like, basically, he was just like, shut up, Jeff. Don't talk to me about that right now. And I was just like, okay. And eventually, and these lights were like really close to where the road goes. And they're still there. And we eventually get to the tree line and the road dips down. And I poke my head out the window and I'm looking up and I can see these massive lights. One of them was obscured by the trees. And there's like, at the time, there was like maybe like one or two houses around. I think there's been more that have been built since on this. I haven't been there for a while, but I could see in between the lights that there was a solid object between it. I couldn't see the stars. It was blocking out the stars. And this thing was just massive. And we were just driving under it. And I was just like, oh God, are we going to
Wow,
have.
man.
And I was aware of like missing time and stuff. And I was like, oh no, please don't have like missing time and have it be suddenly like 1 o'clock in the morning. And thankfully
Yeah.
that didn't happen. And we just kept driving. And
Wow.
my brother and I didn't speak about it until 2011 during a family reunion where somehow the topic, I don't know, maybe someone was talking about ancient aliens because it was new at the time or something. And my brother was like, oh yeah. Jeff and I saw a UFO one time when we were driving home from the movies, and I was like, you saw that too? Like, what the hell, dude? Like, you made me feel like I was crazy. And so that was like validating for me that like something happened, something was in the sky. Whether or not it was extraterrestrial or ours, a lot of people say the triangular ones are the TR-3B, Black Manta, they're like a top secret US military technology that's been in development for like 50 years or something like that. May have been that, not sure. There was the Belgian UFO wave with triangles back in like the late 80s, early 90s. Could have been that.
Yeah, man.
Not entirely sure, but I remember when like Google Earth came out, one of the first things I did, because it has a measurement tool, I went to that spot on the map. And I tried measuring out like what I could remember, where each light was positioned in relation to like the nearby house that was there. And w this thing was like bigger than a 747. Like it was huge.
Wow.
Like no joke.
Interesting, man.
Yeah. So that was probably one of the wildest experiences I've had. The last time I ever saw anything in the sky I couldn't explain was actually in 2020 after I started Strangeology. I was going to get a burrito at one of the local burrito places, and it was close to sunset, and it was a cloudy day, and I was walking out to my car and I saw this bar of light in the sky. And the sunset was like over here. You could kind of see like a little bit, but there weren't sunbeams breaking through the clouds. It was just like, I thought it was a plane at first. I couldn't really tell. I actually got a video of it and it's on my Instagram if you look back far enough.
Oh, I've probably seen
Yeah.
it.
But it's just this bar of light and it kind of goes and like disappears into the clouds. And I was just like, what the hell was that thing? Like maybe it was a plane, but like I don't know. Like I've
Yeah,
seen
man.
hundreds and thousands of planes in that area taking off and landing in the almost 40 years that I've lived here, and never seen anything like that. So
Yeah, man.
kind
Well,
of interesting.
I've seen things in the sky that I can't explain.
Yeah.
So, interesting stuff, man. What are your thoughts on the UFOs? I know it's a big topic at the moment, and it's a rabbit hole, that's for sure. But what are your thoughts
Yes.
at the moment?
I'm convinced that there is something to the phenomenon. I've talked to a lot of people. I've done a lot of research over the years. I know last year you got people like David Grush coming forward, you know, kind of standing side by side with like Commander David Fravor and Ryan Graves and stuff like that. You know, there's this slow drip disclosure that seems to be going on, but not like a catastrophic disclosure that would upend human society as we know it.
Yeah.
But I think there's something there. It's such a deep and complicated rabbit hole. You know, there's a lot of different schools of thought. You know, I have talked to some experiencers, abductees that, you know, have let on that there's collaboration between governments and whoever these entities are, and their motives, their purpose for being here may not have our best interests at heart, which is a very scary thing to think about.
Man.
You see people sometimes bringing up, like, you know, Tom DeLonge and to the Stars Academy and stuff, where during an interview that Tom did, where he talks about having not slept for like 3 or 4 days after he learned some stuff about what's really going on. A lot of talk about these things being interdimensional has been thrown around recently. My opinion, and it's not probably not the most informed opinion, but I think there's kind of like a all of the above type of thing going on with this phenomenon, extraterrestrial, interdimensional, maybe even time travel. I don't know, but I don't think you can discount one thing over the other. But the interdimensionality of it, along with the interconnectedness with so many different parts of like the phenomena as a whole, it seems like there is something that's going on that has been with us for thousands of years, maybe even since the beginning of Homo sapiens sapien, or even before that. You know, maybe there's something that's been guiding our evolution. I don't know for sure, but you hear about stuff like the hybridization program and like all this stuff. It's just, you, like you said, it's a rabbit hole that you can go down.
For sure.
And I'm not saying any of it's necessarily true, but I think there's something going on that we're not privy to. And you know, having seen things myself in the sky, like you, there's phenomena out there that is far beyond what we are capable of technologically. You know, on the Kardashev scale, we're like a 0.5, 0.7 on that, where these things are probably like a type 2 or type 3 civilization that, you know, we're ants compared to them. So it's kind of like,
it's a scary thought, man.
It is. Yeah. So what can you do?
I feel like there's more to come very soon. I don't know what it is. It just feels like it definitely feels like we're being drip fed information, and you know, it's very confusing. There's a lot of information out there, but it's also very up in the air. Like you, I think there's a lot of truth to all of it, and there could be, you know, who knows what's going to happen, but it's exciting, man.
It is a very wild time to be alive. You know,
it's wild. It's exciting.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's scary.
Absolutely terrified.
Have you had any other paranormal experiences to share?
I think I kind of covered most of it, really. A lot of interesting stuff. Is out there, man, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. I've got to ask you what your favorite cryptid is. You do a lot on cryptids.
I do.
You put a lot of information out there. It must be a difficult question, but what is your favorite?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like, but I do love the story of the Jersey Devil
Yes.
I always go back to that one. It's just such a, it's a really cool piece of American folklore and history. I've done a whole big episode, a deep dive on my own podcast about the Jersey Devil. But it's just, I don't know, it's such an interesting story. You've got Mother Leeds, her 13th child that she curses, and then this child mutates into this demon monster thing, and then it flies out the chimney, and then there's like this rivalry between a Leeds family member and Ben Franklin, like under a pen name, writing all this like trash talk of the 1700s back and forth. And it's a really interesting story. And then you have the whole big flap of sightings that happened in the early 1900s,
Yeah.
all throughout New Jersey and even Pennsylvania, and I think down to like Delaware and Maryland too, and even part of upstate New York, where people were seeing this flying fiend that had like the face of like a goat and horse hooves, and some people even reported seeing it breathing fire. So some people think there's like a either a demonic, I mean, obviously it's the Jersey Devil, demonic aspect, or even like a dragon or something like that. So it's a really just a cool story, and yeah, I love
Yeah, man.
it.
Have you talked to anyone that's possibly seen the creature?
One of my ex-bandmates grew up in New Jersey, right outside of Trenton, and his dad had this story of driving through the Pine Barrens, the Jersey Pine Barrens, once when he was, I think, like in his late teens, early 20s. And he was driving around late one night. And this, it wasn't the Jersey Devil necessarily, but he saw this like hitchhiker on the side of the road out in this like remote, creepy pine forest in the middle of the night. And maybe it was, one of the people that live out there that, it's kind of a derogatory term, but people use the term pineys. These kind of people who live away from society that just like live out and don't want to be bothered. And he wasn't sure, but he stuck out his hitchhiker thumb, but it was like extra long. And so he was like,
Oh,
I'm not picking you up. I don't know what the hell you are. And he just like kept driving. He loved telling us
wow, man.
that story. Yeah,
Yeah.
there was one time years ago back when I was in college where there's two roads that kind of like parallel the northern portion of the Pine Barrens. There's the White Horse Pike and the Black Horse Pike. And we had gone to a town just outside of Atlantic City to go to the beach. And we were driving back to his grandparents' place where we were staying. Like an hour away, and we got lost. We got lost out there. We didn't actually wind up going into the Pine Barrens, but we wound up, writing a couple songs for the band at the time, all about it. They were like about the Jersey Devil.
That's cool, man. Yeah. Awesome stuff, man. Jeff, I've loved talking tonight, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show. You're a guest that I've wanted to talk to for a long time, so I'm super happy that we got to do this, man.
Yeah, right on, right on. Thank
Can
you so
you
much for having me.
tell the listeners where they can find you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Strangeology.com is my website. You can also find all my links to all my socials. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, X, Threads, and YouTube as well. Most of those are just at Strangeology. One of Instagram is like strange.ology because sometimes names get taken before you get to take them, but yeah, I'm out there, I'm everywhere.
Awesome, man. I'll share the links in the show description. I hope this is the first of many conversations, brother. Thank you so much, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, thank you so much.
Feeling.
You're looking. looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this this like shadowy demon looking figure in the front seat of the car.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut. So then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend and we saw Eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears. It had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer. What?